To live in the greater Des Moines metro is to love the area and all the new and exciting things happening in central Iowa. But you want more opportunities to connect with the community you love. AARP hears you. That's why they're expanding their activities and programs to help you explore all that life has to offer here in greater Des Moines. Visit aarp.org/IA to get involved. If you don't think building better communities when you think AARP, then you don't know ARP. Discover all the real possibilities right here in your community.
You and your business have particular tax and financial needs that go beyond a cookie-cutter approach. The team from Shaw & Desmond Certified Public Accountants have decades of experience in assisting companies just like yours. The CPAs at Shaw & Desmond do more than taxes and financial statements. They give you real-time feedback on how to improve and grow your business. Do more with a financial partner who is committed to your business growth. ShawAndDesmond.com.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby, is made possible through the support of AARP Iowa. Real possibilities for people of every age. AARP Iowa and Country Vet Naturals. Loved by pets, trusted by owners. CountryVetNaturals.com.
You own something called transformational wealth.
Yes.
All right. That sounds awfully mysterious. Like, whoa, what is she doing here? But you've got a select niche, don't you? What is that?
Well, I like to focus primarily on millennials just because I'm a millennial myself. So I connect to them very well. And there's a lot of there's a generational gap. That's for financial advisors. There's a lot of older financial advisors, baby boomers, and not many that are in my generation that represent this group and the things that they're going through.
And they are going through a whole myriad of issues, from increased student debt load to decisions as to where to live. Should they buy a house? Should they wait on a house? Are they still living with relatives? All kinds of things that tend to placate, all kinds of things that tend to impact their lives.
Yeah, definitely. The millennial generation has been having access to larger amounts of debt at a younger age than previous generations. Yeah. So that's actually impacting the likelihood of them becoming adults, or not adults, but likelihood of them becoming parents.
Well, adulting is fun. You
yes,
know.
Adulting is very important. That's definitely something that's fun to do when you can get to it. But they're prolonging the likelihood of becoming parents. They're prolonging getting into marriages because of student loan debt, because they're coming out with this large amount of student loan debt, consumer debt, and it's taking them longer to acquire homes. It's taking them longer to get ready to be an adult.
And getting ready to be an adult or taking those risks later in life has a real negative impact, interestingly enough, on the economy, because, as you know, most of the economic driver of our nation is built on consumer spending. And if millennials aren't spending because they can't, because they've got so much debt load, that's trouble. So with transformational wealth, what are you hoping to accomplish?
Well, the main goal is to transform you into a better financial you. It's a focus on behavioral finance, and education is one of the biggest aspects of what we do. It's about financial planning, understanding where you actually are when it comes to your inflows and outflows of your budget, and seeing where your weak points are, or your opportunities for growth. And it's the practice of adhering to a budget.
What's the first step?
The first step would be to sit down and just have a review of where you're at is the first thing of getting a whole encompassing view of all of your financial aspects of your life.
Does that take into effect? I know lots of financial people, gurus who are out there that indicate that what the first thing you should do is start out with some type of a budget mechanism so that you know what you've got in, what's going out, and what you can possibly put aside for savings.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why you take in all the information. So that way you can see what your inflows are, what your actual hard expenses are. And your hard expenses are your mortgage or the shelter that you have, the transportation costs that you need to get to work, the technology tools like cell phones, being able to be connected to your community, the things that get you to work are important. Those are your hard expenses. And then from there, after you take out your hard expenses, then you get to see what your actual discretionary income is. And usually when you sit down with somebody for the first time, they are surprised at how little they actually have to spend, because that's why they have credit card debt. That is why they have this balance that's so high, or these debts that they need to pay back, but they're not able to pay them back because they're outliving their means.
Yeah, it's a stunning number. We just had a story the other day about debt load in the United States among credit card holders, well over $1 trillion. And that's the highest it's been ever. And so when we take a look at economic recessions that have plagued us in the past, that's a real scary number and an indicator of some future problems if those finances aren't put together.
Definitely. There's a inflation cycle that's usually about 5 to 7 years. Well, we've been rolling pretty hard since 2012, so we're getting close to a dropping point. And if people are not paying attention to where they're at currently, when things do start to change, then we're going to be in a lot more trouble than we planned for.
Yeah, and not only that, I mean, we just had a news story the other day. As you know, the 10-year T-note just hit 3%. And that's going to have a direct impact on mortgages, on credit card debt, on car payments, all of those things. And I hope people are paying attention to this, because it can be scary.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. There's things that are going to be happening that people, if they're not planning for, they're going to be in reaction mode instead of proaction mode, and that's going to cause some.
So we do the intake. You figure out what kind of income's coming in, what kind of outgo's going out. And then, is there some type of a financial strategy when it comes to saving or investing, those kinds of things?
Well, everyone has a strategy, and people recommend different various how much, you know, you should be saving one way or the other. But what it really comes down to is where you're at with your own finances. Each person's going to be an individual and have their own type of situation. So to put a general broad, you should be saving X amount, it's kind of hard. I mean, there's goals, but when you really look at your personal situation, it's kind of like, what can you do and how do you get to where you want to be?
Are you suggesting that some people get into the markets or out? Depending on what their financial situation is, when we talk about transformational wealth, and we're going to break this down a little further, exactly what it is that you do, outside of simply suggesting to people that, all right, this is your income, this is your outgo, this is maybe what you need to look at, are you then attempting to point them in other directions to increase their wealth?
Well, yes, definitely. One of those aspects of looking at where they're at, how they can make changes, you can either increase your income, get additional jobs, ask for a raise, maybe do a job change, decrease your expenses, do that as an opportunity to cut back on areas. When it comes to saving and investing, you know, you'd like to have a balance. Some people are more focused on paying off debt, pay it off. And some people are focused on savings. There has to be a balance between those.
And are you finding that individuals who you work with right now, were they a little reluctant to seek help and advice? And how are you marketing yourself out there? How are you letting people know that you're there? So the first question is, are they a bit reluctant to open up? Are they trusting? And secondly, how do you market yourself?
It depends on the person. A lot of the time, the people that I typically have been working with are open. Because when I sit down with somebody, before I even sit down with somebody, I say, hey, we're going to meet on a social aspect because I want to make sure you like me and I want to make sure I like you.
There you go.
We got to make sure we understand each other and we're on the same page and we're comfortable with each other. And that usually sets the tone for the next conversation of where they're opening up and discussing their pain points. I've had one person that was a little reluctant to go over it, but she's in a different generation and has different aspects and may not be at a point where she thinks she should be, so she doesn't feel comfortable talking about it. So it depends on the person, but typically like the millennial generation that I primarily work with, they tend to be open because we're more of feel good. We're going to talk about our feelings. We're going to discuss how we are and where we are.
And how do you market yourself?
Currently, I just market myself through, through Facebook, through my website. I do educational topics, an article each week on my social media accounts. Other than that, I do a lot of networking. I'm a part of a lot of entrepreneurship groups like Femme City. I run a group called Women Who Wine. That's a local Des Moines-based group.
I know it,
yes. You know Women Who Wine?
Of course. If it's got wine in it, I got to know about it.
Definitely. And then also through some other associations like American Business Women Association and through my local chamber as well. So it's getting out there and getting connected to the community and a lot of referrals.
And when you're doing those types of networking, are we in danger of painting too broad a brush stroke when it comes to defining millennials?
Yes, I definitely do think that. Myself, for example, I used to be called Generation Y. There was a Generation Y group right before millennials, and then I got grouped into millennials. And I thought that was so wild because millennials are just known at, or you know, the characteristics, you know, we spend for today, we do what we want, we're just kind of all over the place. And I think that is ridiculous.
And you know, I just had a conversation this week with a 28-year-old woman who is more together than perhaps anyone that I've met in a long, long time. And she is directed and she's confident and she knows what she wants to do with her life. There is none of this vacillation that I picked up from her whatsoever. And so I think that we are in danger sometimes of painting this broad brushstroke against any a generational group, including baby boomers or whatever, because you know, we can be lifelong learners and doing things that are really outside of the box, even when we're in our 70s, for crying out loud. So I really do resonate with that issue. We're talking today with Ashley Miller, Transformational Wealth, on our small business segment. So what's the greatest part of your job doing this? And how long have you been doing it first?
Okay, well, I actually just recently opened my business at the beginning of this year. But
wow,
I've been in,
you are new.
Yeah, I'm fresh. Well, I started in the financial services back in 2007. So I've seen the industry from a few different perspectives and gaining education and experience and knowledge through that process. So I recently decided to go independent because there's not someone that's reflective of my generation. There are a few, but not many.
So the question is, as you build this business and you're being known by more people out there, how is it that you intend to build? I mean, this is a young business since the first of the year. What's been the experience and the acceptance, if you will, between, January and April?
Well, it's been
Work, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does. I mean, this is month four. I mean, literally this is month four. So, you know, you have your up days, you have your down days of being an entrepreneur, but I know that for this type of industry, it takes 3 to 5 years to really establish yourself. So you have to be prepared for that longevity of really getting somewhere. So at the beginning of the year, I surrounded myself with really good groups that are very supportive of women in business. And that has been a really good positive experience to help me keep going and to be, you know, not worried that today I didn't get that one client, but the next day I may get the next one. And so it's just a unique experience, and it's been very positively received because it's a new concept. It's not the traditional financial advisor. It's more of, I'm going to hold your hand and be your financial guidance counselor.
You know, it is interesting that you left the corporate world and you started out in your own business. It's interesting from the standpoint that corporations are out there banging the drum, trying to find people who are of good character and who have a great background. And here's Ashley Miller says, I'm going to ditch this and just go out here and do this on my own. That's kind of different.
Yeah, it's jumping off a cliff. Yeah. You know, the corporations have their own purpose, their own prerogative. Mine is more focused on the relationship versus sales. Like mine's not a sales-based business. It's a relationship-based business and a service versus a product being sold.
All right, so that brings up the next question for the business model. How do you get paid?
How do I get paid? Well, the first year, I probably won't get paid at all. Yeah. As I do bring on clients and bring in revenue, I'm reinvesting into the business right away, either into myself for educational perspectives and growing myself both personally and professionally, as well as redoing my website already. I did my first website on my own. It's still up right now. But I'm reinvesting into a new website that's going to be more attractive to the target group that I'm after.
Sure. and all that takes time and money. So let me come back to that question, because I think it's important for people to understand. Are you a fee-based service? So if somebody calls and says, hey, Ashley, I'd like to have a visit with you about my finances, and mm-hmm. I know it's not a sales structure, but you got to get paid somewhere.
Yeah,
so how does that work?
Yeah, it is a fee-based. So I'm a fee-based fiduciary financial advisor. So typically we'll meet, discuss, and then I tell you the process, how this works, because you can either be an investment-only client where I just manage investments for you, or you could be a financial planning client where I just do financial planning, or you could be both at the same time. It just depends on what your needs are. Typically with the financial planning side, you get coaching as part of it. So that's that educational aspect and that support, where we would meet either on a weekly basis over the phone or every other week to talk about how you adhered to your budget, or what were the problems, what were the good, the bad of that kind of situation, and get that support. Say, okay, well, we made a mistake. That's okay. What's next week look like?
So gender, most of your clients to start out with have been female?
No, actually, which is really surprising. My focus started, you know, to be women for women kind of situation. But in results, it's actually been males. I've had a lot of male clients actually come out to me and reach out to me and come on as clients, not necessarily females just yet, which is surprising. I'm very surprised by that.
Well, you know, a smart man always listens to a wise woman. That's really the program. We're talking with Ashley Miller, Transformational Wealth, on our Small Business Spotlight. What else would you like folks to know about what it is that you do?
That there's someone out there that is of your generation that is looking out for your best interest, that will sit down and really look at your entire life and give you a plan to get you to the next spot. My goal is to help modify your behavior to align yourself with your own goals.
So that also brings up the next question. Are you set on only helping millennials, or can a 45-year-old come and visit with you?
Yeah, a 45-year-old can visit with me.
Actually, how about a 65-year-old?
Yeah, actually, my oldest clients are retirees in Arizona, so I do have a wide range. Yeah. I do help everybody. I just focus on that aspect because I know there's a lot of need in that group. There's a lot of debt. There's a lot of uncertainty because we've gone through so many things. We've gone through 9/11. Right. We've gone through the recession. We've seen our parents' bank accounts drop, or retirement accounts drop in half. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's going to be a large wealth distribution or changing of hands over the next 15 to 20 years from the baby boomers down to the millennials, because Gen X, don't get me wrong, we'll get a portion of that, but a lot of it's going to skip right on down. And so when they come into these situations, are they going to be prepared? And that's what I want to help them get ready for.
It's all a trust factor, isn't it?
Yeah, that.
Mm-hmm. It surely is. We've been visiting with Ashley Miller, ladies and gentlemen. Her business is called Transformational Wealth. We will have links for all of that up on the radio blog. Thanks, Ashley, for doing this.
Of course. Thank you, Michael. Got a good reason.